when you can have something that becomes so repeatable, even if there are variations of the actual deliverable, like the videos obviously will look different, but everything else remains the same, you will be able to grow beyond just yourself as the technician. For some businesses, it's the right model to be the boutique, really high-end custom. But for some people that don't want to be the one doing all of the work all the time, niching down the packaging, the productization of the actual motion graphics will definitely help you grow faster and allow you to take a vacation.
Hey, Hatchlings. Welcome to the Motion Hatch podcast. I'm your host, Hayley Akins. Hey, Hatchlings. Thank you so much for joining me on the Motion Hatch podcast. This is a podcast focused on the business side of motion design. So because it's focused on the business side of things, I wanted to bring more business experts onto the show. So this week, I have a different kind of guest for you. Greg Hickman runs a company called Systemly. He helps service-based businesses with marketing funnels, scaling, and qualifying leads. That means getting your perfect clients and not spending time talking to people who either aren't right to work with you or can't afford your services. I'm sure you know what I mean. Do stay tuned because he's got some solid advice on how to implement systems and help you save time and also get on the phone with the right people. Hey, Greg, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
So do you want to tell us a little bit about your background and what you do?
Yeah. So, I mean, I've always been a service provider, but before Systemly, most of my career was working in agencies. And then before I kind of broke out on my own, I worked on the client side for a national retailer here in the United States. And up until that point, pretty much all of my experience was focused on mobile marketing. And when I went out on my own, I tried to work with independent retailers. That was where my experience was doing mobile marketing. And I just really had a really tough go at it and kind of hit a wall. And at the time, I had been using Infusionsoft myself to help streamline some of the new client onboarding and some of my own marketing activities, because the people that I had been connecting with in the online marketing space were all using it. So I started using it and really started to fall in love with just automation, and specifically at the time, Infusionsoft. And when I kind of just hit the wall to the point where I needed to explore other opportunities, a friend said, if you could do something else, what would you do? And I said, I don't know, probably something with Infusionsoft. So I went out and I tried to find a couple clients that I could help do their Infusionsoft stuff. I didn't really know what that meant at the time. And lo and behold, there was a lot of pain there. And I was able to get 7 clients in a matter of like a week. I was like, okay, well, this is way easier to sell than what I had been doing. Let me give it a little more time. So after basically catching up the Infusionsoft business to the mobile business, like it took me like 5 years to get the mobile business to a certain point in revenue. That took me like a month and a half to do in the Infusionsoft side of things. I had to make a decision, and it was pretty clear that I wanted to keep moving forward in that direction. And it's kind of been a journey since as well, but we were started off as completely custom done for you. And we've evolved through kind of a series of productization. Now we essentially have a coaching program where we work with other service providers to help them become more scalable and grow their business through automation, systems, and productizing.
Yeah. So do you want to tell us, for anyone listening who like doesn't know what Infusionsoft is and what it does, do you want to tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah. So Infusionsoft is a marketing automation tool. It really was one of the kind of first small business marketing automation tools. Now there's tons of them. There's, you know, ActiveCampaign, there's Entreport, ConvertKit, Drip, you know, there's a bunch of different tools out there today, some of which are, you know, more glorified email marketing tools, and some are true like automation tools. Infusionsoft is just a marketing automation tool for small business. And the people that I was connected to were pretty much using that exclusively in their business. So that's where I started. I got certified in using it and then really kind of went all in on helping online-based entrepreneurs that were using Infusionsoft. And it's evolved beyond Infusionsoft now, but that's where we started.
So it's like a place where you can manage your clients and send them emails and things like that.
Yep. Set up email automations. So, you know, if someone opts into your onto your email list because they downloaded a free report of some sort, you know, they could get a series of 1 to 100 emails over the course of the next year that are all automated that are going out. It also serves as like a CRM and a, you know, a sales pipeline management tool. It does a lot depending upon which tool you're looking at. Some have other features and functionality, but yeah, email marketing, CRM, you know, client relationship management, and then the automation that kind of makes it happen without you being there is essentially what it does.
Yeah. So I wanted to dive more into this because I think a lot of my audience, like motion designers and animators, aren't kind of using this sort of stuff. So how do you think that we could benefit from using something like that?
Ultimately, you have to look at what your business model is, right? So, you know, as motion designers, any business, right? Like, what are you selling and how do you deliver it? And whatever the answer is to those questions, at some point, you're probably doing some sort of marketing to attract people, make them aware of you. And then when you have sales conversations, whether you send proposals or whatever your sales process looks like, there are things that you probably do over and over and over again that could be streamlined. And so whether you're a motion designer or, you know, a social media marketing person, the areas that I see most service providers start leveraging automation outside of just building their email list is within their sales process and within their new client onboarding experience. For you, like as a motion designer, like if a client comes in and is buying something, and you go through a discovery process or, you know, you send proposals or what have you, you can leverage automation to make that process more systematic and repeatable where they go through it and they show up to the conversation and all you had to do was show up to the conversation and like they're already ready for that conversation. They know more about you. And so like that can make who you get on the phone with, one, increase the quality, filter out the people that you shouldn't be talking to, so that you're only speaking to the most qualified leads. So you can really streamline your sales process as well as when a new client comes on, what do they need to give to you to be successful? What do they need to know about how you work and the expectations that you have in order to be successful? You can kind of deliver some of that information in an automated way without you having to be on a phone call to do it, where it really starts to create freedom and time savings for you as the business owner, right? Like you can be, now you could probably work with 1 or 2 extra clients per month instead of having to be on the phone for every single kickoff call or speaking to unqualified sales leads.
That is a big problem in the motion design industry, is people like being on phone calls a lot with clients and answering emails for people who necessarily, maybe they don't like have enough budget for an animation, you know, because it takes quite a lot of time. So do you think that there's like some particular systems and things that, you know, if we don't know a lot about marketing automation, what we could put into place that would help with that kind of thing?
Yeah, I mean, the simplest one based on what you just said would be, before you get on the phone with anybody, have them fill out some sort of questionnaire or application where they're expressing on their what it is they're looking for, capturing some sort of budget or what their revenue looks like. Whatever you need as a motion designer to understand, does this person have the money? Do they even understand what they're asking for? So some sort of information capture before they can get on your calendar would be the first thing. But then two, whether it's on that same page or on the next page after they complete the application, like why not throw a video on there explaining how you work, typical budgets, and maybe a sample of some of your work, right? From maybe low end to high end, if you have a range, right? And we'll talk about this a little bit more, but an example. I can't remember who it was because I kind of go through other people's stuff to see what they're doing. But I was going through someone's application page, and on the page where you fill out that form, there was a video. And the video, I'll paraphrase the video, but it was something like, hey, thanks so much for, you know, for coming here. I'm super pumped that you want to chat. If you're on this page, here's what I know about you, that you're looking to achieve da, 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 da. You're interested in a motion designer. Well, we work with clients in a variety of ways. Projects start as low as $5,000 and can go all the way up to $100,000. So if you're looking for something small that is like, give a couple examples, you know, check out below. You'll see a couple examples of insert the name of a small type of project. You can see what we're talking about. Or if you're looking for something super complex, like a insert examples, you know, it might be between $50,000 to $100,000. And usually we deliver stuff like this anywhere from 30 days to it could be potentially, you know, a 3-month project. So now that you understand a little bit more about what we do, how we work, if $5,000 sounds like too much, then you don't fill out the form below because we're not going to be the best fit for you. If you're looking for something below $5,000 that is of this quality, like, go check out these other places. You know, you're going to have difficulty on five. Like, you can take this video as far as you want, but it's like, you're literally just like giving them the parameters of like who should fill that thing out and who shouldn't. And you can throw in ballpark budgets. You can throw in examples, have fun with it. You guys can do motion graphics. You probably can make that video super engaging. Literally let them know if they should be the one to fill out that form or not, right? That video alone, if anyone's watches it and fills out that form and the information aligns with, like, you look at the application or the questionnaire and you're like, wow, like everything looks good, like that's probably someone you should get on the phone with, right? But if like they check the box that they say they have no money or their budget is $100, then obviously that's not someone you want to get on the phone with, even if they did watch that video, right? So it's like, how do you put in those filters and those obstacles for people to really just apply to work with you, right? And that's only going to protect your time and make sure that when you do get on the phone with someone, aka stop working on your client's stuff for a few minutes or hours to have this conversation, that it's with someone that could become a client versus just a wasteful 60 minutes, right? And those can even be done manually. It doesn't even need to be automated, but you can continue to layer in automation into that where it's like, all you need to do is show up to the call, right?
I think there's like a few interesting things in there. I think that sounds awesome. And I know that hardly anyone is doing that. One thing I think that would scare people as like creatives is like saying, you know, like throwing numbers out there and stuff. Like, I guess the opposite to that would be like ask them for some numbers. I don't know. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I mean, you can throw out numbers. I think as someone who would be the type of person that would need to hire a motion designer because I don't have those skill sets, I feel like I can speak for a lot of people that would need to hire someone like you and your audience, that like you could show me a $50,000 thing and put it next to a $5,000 thing, and I probably wouldn't be able to tell the difference. We probably don't even know, and you should assume that people don't know, like what goes into a $50,000 project and or a $5,000 project, depending upon who your market is, right? Like maybe you know your market, but I would gather that most people probably, like you could show me a video and be like, oh, like you probably did that for like $3,500, and you're like, that was like 15,000 and like 100 hours of work. And I'm like, I would have never guessed it, right? Like, because I have no idea. So I would say like, that's what should drive like maybe some of the questions you ask. Like maybe it's like, have you hired a motion designer before? Or fill out a form and like, let me know what you're expecting. In the box below, paste a couple links of some animations or videos that you're like, that you've been inspired by that brought you here to get something like it. Like, what are you looking to model? Send me some links, right? Like put some links in the application. At least now, like they're telling you like, this is what my expectation is versus not. And if they send you something that you can look at and be like, that was like, you know, on Fiverr, right? Like, then maybe they're not like expecting that you're going to come back with like a $10,000 plus project, right? But that's where you kind of like, it depends on what you're exactly selling and to what degree you want to filter people out, right? I mean, we change our application all the time, constantly testing new questions. Like, does this help us get more of the right person? Do we make it longer because it's like a little bit more of a hoop to jump through? And if they jump through it, like they clearly have something that they want help with versus keeping it short where people just like don't take it seriously. You have to experiment with it. And every business owner is going to have different questions that they care about. But back to like the video of saying budget, that's why it's like, I think giving them examples without giving specific numbers is only going to benefit you, right? Because here's, I think, the reality as a service provider. You take the call because A, you don't have another lead coming in and you're just like hoping that it's going to work out, which puts you kind of like in a place of desperation, right? And so that's typically where one, you we'll get on the phone with anybody, which more often than not is going to be a waste of your time. And that time could be used somewhere else more effectively. And then also just like, it's exhausting, right? Like, I mean, how many times do you like at some point your own energy is going to like, you're just going to feel like, man, like, is anyone ever going to be qualified? Right. And it's like, take control of the situation and only speak to qualified people. And yeah, you might get five less calls, but like that's 5 hours potentially that you now have back because you didn't waste them talking to somebody that like you were just hoping would be good. And another thing is there's just so many like, I think, social dynamics that happen when you make someone apply to work with you, specifically using the word apply also, in that like, what are things that you apply for? It's like things that you want to get into, right? But you don't, you can't just go buy it. Like they need to approve you. So like that puts you in a position of control, which also creates this perception, whether true or not, of you're in demand, right? Like you don't have the time to just speak to any and everybody because you're serving your clients and you guys are creatives. And, you know, that is like, you need to be in that zone. Like jumping back and forth is not useful for a creative mind, right? So like, that is protecting you at all costs. And so someone that like goes through that, like they're already faced with, man, this person's in demand. Like you could put copy on there. It's like, we don't work with everybody. Like we know exactly who we can help. You can say exactly who you help in that video. All of those things I just think start to position you as an expert. And also depending upon what you say, what type of clients, like can either position you as a really high-end person, or maybe you are the affordable motion graphic person. And then you should be doing things that maybe allow, like open that door. That's like, hey, there's tons of high quality stuff, but like we know that most people don't need that. So like we're the affordable option. Maybe that's your angle, right? So it does a lot there that I think is beneficial to you and also kind of positions the person you're speaking to, I'd say, respect you more. And if they don't take it seriously, the reality is, or they don't like, we have questions where it's like, paint me a picture, like literally like give me as much detail. It's like, what is your biggest problem? And they'll like reply with like one word. You know, it's like, all right, well, like if that's how seriously you're taking this thing, if you became a client, how serious are you going to be? Like how they fill that form out is like an indicator of how they're going to be as a client. And like literally if someone like half-asses the application, our team literally reaches out and like, hey, like unless you give us some more detail, like we're just going to cancel the call because you clearly didn't take it seriously. So like obviously it's not that important to you. We don't just let you through because you just put characters into the entry box, right? So it's again just another way to protect yourself.
Yeah, that makes so much sense. And I think like, yeah, like I said, no one's really doing that. And I think it's like a super smart thing to do. When was the last time a client paid you late or you wanted to charge for project files but didn't know how? Most of the issues we face in our businesses as motion designers can be solved with good communication. The best way to communicate your terms upfront to the client and ensure your project runs smoothly is to have a solid contract in place. In talking to motion designers, I know that most are either not using a contract at all or have cobbled together one from various online sources. I get it. Lawyers can be expensive and you just want to get on with what you do best, which is making great work. That's exactly why I created the Freelance Contract Bundle. Designed in collaboration with lawyers from both the UK and the US, the Freelance Contract Bundle is a set of downloadable contract templates made specially for motion designers and animators. It includes a commission contract and a freelance terms of service contract, helping you create smoother relationships both direct to client and also while working with agencies and studios. To find out how the Freelance Contract Bundle can help protect your business, your work, and ensure your projects run smoothly, go to motionhatch.com/contract. Now let's get back to the episode. Also, I was thinking about what can happen before that to kind of get people into, you know, into that system. And then also when you're working on projects all the time, I know that a lot of people are sitting there, they're working on their animations and stuff like that. And then what they do is when they get to the end of the animation, then they're like freak out and then they email all their clients. And I guess that's like how like a CRM could come into play in that kind of area.
Yeah. I mean, even if like on the application page, you say like, hey, like, we're currently booked out until this day, apply and get on the wait list and we'll keep you posted as things open up. Like if your project isn't urgent, as people apply, that could be a question. Like how soon are you looking to have this thing delivered? Like in the next 45 days, like 3 months, 6 months, like, because if someone says 6 months, like, but then someone says 30 days, like prioritize that person, right? You know, and then to take that out to the next level, I mean, like even if you simply set that system up with the questionnaire, et cetera, if you go to an event and you're networking, like tell them the URL to that page. You'd be like, hey, if you just go here, there's a quick video that breaks down how we work, tells you a little bit more about us. And sounds like from this conversation that we could probably help you, but like go here, grab a time on the calendar and we'll talk. Like, don't play the whole, like, I'll take your business card and email you back and forth. Because if they want to bet, like, hey, like, here's, pull it up in your phone. Be like, hey, just fill out your information right now. Pick a time that works. Like, I've done that plenty of times, right? That's the best business card. So you could do it from networking. You could do it from someone replying to an email. You can do it from social media. And then obviously you can get more advanced where, you know, you start using Facebook ads into like a free PDF of some sort, or, you know, an online training, like a webinar, if that makes sense for you. But like starting with that filtration process, anything you create that is like out in the market, like a Facebook ad or a PDF guide or a template or a webinar, all of those things will filter into this thing anyway. So it's like you want to dial that in before you do this other stuff, right? You're already having the conversations, just have them provide more information so that you can have a more effective call. Also, if they do that, and you set a video before the call, like, hey, here's what's going to happen on the call. I'm going to ask you a bunch of questions. I want to learn more about your project, da, 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 da. Like that call could probably go from taking 60 minutes to 30 minutes. Now you can have double the calls every single week because you've done some of that work leading up to the call, right? So now you could like double your sales call capacity because you were able to reduce the time, right? How many times when you guys get on the phone are you saying the same thing over and over and over again? If that's the case, make a video, make it a requirement to watch that video before they get on the phone, and that call can now be, you know, 20 minutes, right? Or whatever. And now you've saved yourself some time. And we all know that time is valuable. So like protect it.
Yeah, that makes so much sense. And I feel like how it could work as well is you could have like an application form and then you could like sort of make it send it them a video afterwards where you maybe go into more detail about like different types of animation projects and like all the process of animation and things like that. So they kind of understand that a little bit better.
Yeah, I mean, there's very simple executions for you guys that just will optimize how and where you spend your time. And it'll feel weird at first because you're going to probably be on less calls and that'll feel a little bit scary. But if that's the case, all it means is it's doing its job, right? Like it's working, right? You're not getting on calls that are wasting your time. Mission accomplished, right? Like that's the first part. Then it's like, all right, every time we get on the phone, like 85% close rate. Sweet. Like now let's start getting more people into this conversation. And now we like, you should be able to have more capacity. So I would say always start there.
Yeah, yeah. I think that makes a lot of sense. So like after that, are you using like Calendly or something? Like,
yeah, you could use Calendly.
It's like linked in. Yeah. Like how does that work?
Yeah. So our motto is start simple, get ninja later. I mean, literally version one could be, we use a tool called Wufoo for the application. It could be a Wufoo form. That Wufoo form just sends you an email. You could review it. If they're qualified, email them back. Hey, do any of these three times work? That could be version one. Version two could be, hey, here's my Calendly link. Pick a time that works for you. Version three could, on the next page after they've completed the form, the Calendly thing is already there. It's embedded on a page. Like literally you could do the same. All three of them will yield the exact same result. The third one is just less of your time to get it to happen, right? I actually know clients that had to remove the calendar part and they did it on purpose because they actually happen to have a lot of exposure. So they get a lot of unqualified people. And so they don't want unqualified people just getting on their calendar than them having to cancel the call. That ended up taking more of their time. I mean, it's a good problem to have. So they actually found that now they just email them and they say, hey, here's a cool training that you can watch. In the meantime, we're reviewing your application. Our team will reach out to you if we feel like you're a good fit and we can help you. And then you reach out if they're qualified. So it could be as automated or as manual as you want. And I would literally build up to just getting, you know, more and more ninja with like how you're using the automation, right? Like the form version one that I just talked about, form and reply, like there's literally no automation needed there, but you achieve the same result, right? You know, if you throw in Calendly, now they're going to be getting three or four email reminders reminding them of the call. That's something that you don't need to manually do. That's automation at its simplest. Slowly build up to it, right? You don't need to do it all at once. Just slowly add pieces.
Yeah, that makes sense. I think this could work really well, like people doing like more direct to client work. Obviously, like a lot of people listen to this do like work with agencies and stuff like that. And then I think also if you're kind of trying to go into like into a niche industry, like you want to be the motion designer for an industry, right? Because I know that you've kind of niched down quite a bit and also made like a productized service. Do you want to talk a little bit about that?
Yeah. So I find that this topic is harder for creatives. So I'll preface it with that. Specifically, yeah. Where I've seen the most resistance is like in web designers. So like I know that those listening right now will probably like feel friction and resistance to what I say next. So like, just keep an open mind and consider it. You don't have to do it, but just keep an open mind. So most service providers reach a certain point in their growth where they're not necessarily hitting the revenue numbers that they would like, yet they're working their butt off and spending tons of time. And their growth can't exceed their own ability to do the work, right? Like meaning every single client that comes in, you as the owner have to be involved in the project in order for you to get the results. Obviously, if you're like a freelancer and a solo artist, that's going to be the case. That might be what you want, right? Which is fine. I'm not trying to make anyone do anything they don't want to do. But if you want to build a more scalable business that is leveraged, you need to start to leverage these systems to remove yourself from the delivery. Now, with some of the stuff you guys do, there are probably very boutique shops that can charge top dollar and they're just so in demand that everything they do could always be custom. I'm going to guess that's not the case for everybody. If you fall into that, it's not the case, then considering how you can niche down and be the motion designer for dentists, as an example, like your life will be easier It will be easier to sell. It will be easier to market. It will be easier to create systems that allow you to step out of literally the doing of the work. And I know we're going to talk about roles in a little bit. Two books that everyone should read in your audience if they haven't read them yet. One is called E-Myth Revisited. This book has more than 2 million copies sold. It's ridiculous. Why most small businesses don't work and what to do about it. And the big thing in this book is, especially your audience, as service providers, we start as technicians and we have a technical business. But that doesn't mean that you, the owner, needs to be the one doing all of the technical work. You might love what you do, but you, at some point, you just got burnt out and you want to build a company with team members that help, that more designers, more creativity, right? Well, like, you're going to have to, if you want to grow a business, you're going to have to start being the CEO, which means you doing less of the motion graphics, less of the creative tasks, and build your team underneath you, right? And you're going to have to learn the skill set of leadership and management and like those things, if that's what you want, right? If you want to start increasing, you know, those numbers and be able to take a vacation where money can still come in because other people are doing the work, other people are selling the work, right? So this is all about, like, just because you're a technician doesn't mean you can't have a technical business. You just, if you're the owner, you just want to evolve beyond doing the technical work. The other book is called Built to Sell, John Warillo, I believe is how you say his name. It's about a creative agency, and they realized that everything was custom and like getting clients was hard, delivering, hiring was hard because they need all these different experts in these different creative disciplines. And they simplified to, well, we're the best at doing logos. So like now all they do is logos. And so like they simplified what the deliverable was. They're like, hey, like we did all these other things, blah, blah, blah. Now we just do logos. And they were able to create their own method for creating the best logos, selling the best logos, delivering that, and build a team around that process. And when you can have something that becomes so repeatable, even if there are variations of the actual deliverable, like the videos obviously will look different, but everything else remains the same, you will be more scalable. Like you will be able to grow beyond just yourself as the technician. So I think there is a time and place. And for some businesses, it's the right model to be the boutique, really high-end custom. But for some people that don't want to be the one doing all of the work all the time, the niching down, the packaging, the productization of the actual motion graphics will definitely help you grow faster and allow you to take a vacation, you know, which I'm sure many people listening, like if you take a vacation, business actually is just also taking a vacation, right? clients aren't getting served, or like they know and they're okay with you not working on it for the next week. But what ends up happening there, and I think this is the realities of service, if your business is consistently up and down with number of prospects, number of clients, number of revenue, you don't have a lot of predictability. And when you don't have the predictability of here's how much I'm going to make next month, or here's how many new opportunities I'm going to have next month, which should yield X dollars next month, we can always live in fear, kind of scarcity mindset. And like that doesn't work for some people. So as you niche down, as you productize, the predictability will dramatically increase. It could be as simple as, for some of you, probably niching down just to a specific type of audience, like the motion graphics person for dentists, like I talked about, if that's a thing. Or it could be a particular type of deliverable, like I'm just making this up, like trailers. Like maybe you do, you know, you're the best at like 2 to 5 minute trailers for insert type of business, right? For SaaS company, for SaaS products, right? Like you're really good at creating these videos for people that sell software solutions or that sell jewelry or that's blah, 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 right? Even if you do that example of like a trailer video, but you do it for everybody else. The problem is the processes of how you sell, how you market are going to be still going to be hard to create systems around, which is going to still put you in the position of kind of everything being manual, right? So it really comes down to like the niching down makes marketing easier and repeatable and predictable. And the delivery of one outcome makes the fulfillment side easier.
I really agree with that. And also, I think about niching down into an industry or something, it's much easier to like sell to those people and find those people because you know where they are and you know what they want and you know what their problem is. Whereas now what everyone is doing is kind of going, okay, well, I'm a freelance motion designer or a small studio and I'm just, well, we do motion graphics for everybody, you know? And it's like, well, okay, that could feel like you might get more work, but actually, if I go to a conference or something for like entrepreneurs, you know, which I do occasionally, like I could be like, I'm the motion designer for entrepreneurs and I'm like here and I know that that's what all you do. So, you know, it makes it much easier for me to find people to like hire me, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, and I would even niche down beyond just that entrepreneurs, right? I mean, like there's a lot of different types of entrepreneurs, but what you're saying is very true. It's like, when it comes to your marketing, you going out there and attracting people, you have to think of all of your effort being like an arrow, right? Like you have to be very accurate, right? Unlike where if like you're crabbing and you swoop the net in the water and you catch a bunch of crabs, you catch some fish, you catch some random seaweed, and then you just start picking through it. Like, if you're exerting any energy in your marketing, it should be very at a very specific target because you know where they, you know where they hang out, you know what they talk about. Like you can figure out like two or three places that you can focus your efforts on being in versus trying to do that for five different types of people. Now it feels like you need to be everywhere and you're saying one thing over here, you're saying another thing over there, and you're having to kind of always tweak to make sure it works. Like that becomes time consuming, not predictable, right? And so it really just focuses your effort. One of my mentors, I heard on his podcast, he made this comment like, if you have two avatars, and I think I mentioned this in my presentation, if you have two avatars, you are admitting to the fact that you will always be second best to the person who's serving that one avatar 100%. So like you're every time you add another avatar or another type of product, like you're diluting what you do. And as you get more diluted, it becomes almost impossible to create any sort of system, right? Because there is nothing that's repeatable. There is nothing that happens over and over again because it's unique and different every time. And that's why people struggle, service providers specifically, to have systems because it's just different every time. So like, if you want to have repeatability and predictability, you have to not do different things every time, which means you have to make some tough decisions, do less, focus on someone specific, deliver maybe not as custom of stuff, or maybe not these 10 different types of projects, but like these 1 to 3 types of projects.
Yeah. So I think, you know, like you could do like explainer videos for like a certain type of client or something like that. And you just do that instead of like, oh, we do explainer videos and logo animations and we do like film trailers or I don't know, like loads of different stuff.
Let me give you an example. I don't think this would be considered motion graphics, but my friend started this business and he's in Australia. The company is called Splashio. The letter EO.com. And for the longest time, they did like, you go onto their website and you order like lower thirds, like they popped out on your videos and they do all different designs, like intro bursts, you know, like the bumpers on the beginning of videos. Just recently, many of you have probably seen it. You've probably seen the marketers that have like the video and then there's like a black bar on top and bottom with like the caption of what they're saying moving below and like the headline above. Like a lot of people are using them as Facebook ads or Instagram stories. He changed his entire service and now you submit a video and they do all the other pieces and it outcomes like he has a team of people. It's not like software. They'll make the caption go in there. They'll take your 2-minute video. They'll put nice borders around it, the text. They'll make it all look nice. And for $100 a month, you can get 4 videos done a month. For, I think it's $300 a month, you can get 20 videos done a month. You could submit all 20 videos at once and his team goes and does 20 videos just like that. You can change the colors. You can do those sorts of things, add your logo, and out comes this result, right? Like, that's all his company sells. His team is really talented. They can obviously, and they were doing other types of video graphics and bumpers and all that stuff. But he just said, hey, like, we still do those for the clients that we have that we've been doing it for. But like, I just see a huge opportunity in marketing ourselves as this because everyone's starting to do it. And there is a little bit of manual work to it. And like, there aren't any good softwares out there doing it. So like, we just dialed in our process to churn those out like crazy. I don't know what his revenue is, but I know he has like dozens and dozens and dozens of clients already paying $400 a month or whatever it was, $300 or $400 a month, that turns into a pretty nice recurring revenue stream, right? It's just delivering one piece, right? So it's sort of like that. I mean, I think that is maybe a little bit more extreme than what some of your people are probably doing, but the concept is there.
Yeah. And I think like that was what you were saying was really interesting, that like, if he wanted to, he can still serve those other clients. You know, you could just have like one part of your business or like, you know, like a couple of people, if you had like a team like doing this certain thing, as just like an alternative revenue stream as well.
Yeah. I mean, it could become its own offer. It could become like the main thing that you sell and then raise your custom rates, right? I guarantee most of your people are charging way too little for what they're doing already. So like, raise that price and then have this repeatable thing that you know most people want anyway, and get deliver at that. I think the biggest challenge for creatives is like, and this can go into the role part of the conversation, is you're doing this because you also love the creative element. So like, custom is important, and that's totally fine. You just have to make the decision of like, what's more important and how do you fulfill that desire in your business, right? Like, if you're still doing custom videos, but it's the same type of video for a specific type of person, each video will be unique, but like, it's still a 3-minute trailer, right? Or whatever, versus, you know, the trailer and the full film. So that will probably be hard for some creatives, and how you decide to make that transition, if at all, will just determine how big you can grow, which is, again, everyone can do whatever they want. It's just, if you're wanting to get bigger and grow more and remove yourself, well, those are some of the decisions that are going to have to be made, which goes into the role part, which I haven't really talked about this a lot, but has come up more and more. Like, some of, like, yourself and some of your, you know, your listeners, they might want to grow a bigger business, but they still want to be the ones doing a lot of the creative stuff, right? Cool. Well, maybe you shouldn't be CEO and you should go hire a CEO. Just because you founded the company doesn't mean you need to be the CEO. Right? Have someone else go out there and do the management and the operations and all of that stuff. But, you know, now you're going to have a partner and find someone that complements you, but still you're going to want to simplify some of the things that you do so that they can go out there and, you know, manage this stuff. Right? So it's not like you have to be the CEO and remove yourself from these things, but you can, or you could just hire somebody else. But that person's going to be expensive. That person's going to want part of your business. But if it allows you to do exactly what you love doing and not have to do the stuff you hate and still get to where you want to get to, then consider hiring that operations CEO visionary type person, right? And you stay in the creative aspect. Maybe you're the one that's responsible for creative vision and you're managing creative team. And they're the ones going out there getting clients, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, it is a path that you can pursue.
Yeah, definitely. And I think a lot of people will relate to it in the way that they're like, you know, getting clients and they're doing all of that kind of the work. And maybe if they wanted to have a small studio, they could maybe like hire someone in sort of a producer role who does that like client acquisition and all of that side of it. And then they are the one that is still making the animation.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Cool. So where can people find you and what you do?
Yeah. So, I mean, our website is Systemly, system.ly, and we have a free Facebook group called the Scalable Service Provider. So you could just go on Facebook and search Scalable Service Provider and hop in there. I'm sharing videos and asking probing questions and sharing frameworks and thoughts on how to make your service more scalable. A really good way to connect with other service providers that are on the same path. And those are the two best spots.
Awesome. Well, yeah, we'll put all of that in the show notes as well for everyone. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I had a great time.
Thank you so much again to Greg for coming on the show. I really appreciate it. I thought that was super interesting. Do let me know if you implement anything from this podcast. If you try the application form on your website, I think that's a great idea. I'd love to hear from you. We are at Motion Hatch on Twitter and Instagram. Please do give us any feedback you had about this episode. I'd love to know what you think. I'm hoping to get more business experts on this podcast so that we can learn from them and implement things into our motion design businesses. So I hope that you like this episode. We've got so many great episodes coming up for you. So please do subscribe and leave us a rating review wherever you get your podcasts. I really appreciate that. Just helps get the podcast out there to more people, so we can help more motion designers with their careers in business. So I hope you have a great week. Thank you so much again. See ya.